Well, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be examining some of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. We're going to be looking at how we understand Jesus, why Jesus came, and how to follow him. And to do that, we're going to be spending our time at the centre of Mark's Gospel in Mark chapter 8. And the centre of Mark's Gospel is a good place to be because it is a pivot point between the two halves of the Gospel. It concludes the first section and sets up the second. And it's around this pivot point that Mark shows us some of these essential truths about Jesus. And today's subject is all about understanding. How can I understand Jesus for myself? How can I know who he is? And I think that is a great place for us to be this lunchtime. Because understanding Jesus for ourselves is fundamental to understanding Christianity. If we haven't got the right understanding of Jesus' identity, we haven't got the right understanding of what the Christian faith is about. And in short, the surprising answer is that we cannot understand Jesus. We cannot understand Jesus. At least you cannot by yourself. I guess that might sound like a strange way to start a talk all about how to understand Jesus. But my aim is to show us that we all suffer from an inability to recognize Jesus' identity for ourselves. In the language of Mark, we are blind. If you're anything like me, that is an odd thing to hear. I don't like being told that I'm blind or cannot understand anything. But I want to suggest this lunchtime that understanding we're blind is a good thing to understand. It's a good thing to recognize we cannot understand Jesus on our own. Why? Because it's important to have the right diagnosis before looking for the solution. A few years ago, I had problems with my heart. I got these strange feelings in my chest, and I went and got it checked out. You wouldn't believe the number of things I was diagnosed with. I don't know if you ever visit that NHS Direct website. Some people absolutely love it because they can self-diagnose themselves, and that's exactly what people kindly did for me. If I didn't have a heart problem before, I certainly did after hearing about all the diseases I could have had. And then there was the NHS itself. I seemed to receive a different diagnosis with every person I met. Actually, I've got one of the letters here with one of those diagnoses. It says that I've got a heart enlargement. I thought I'd share it with you. I love this last line. I would like to reassure that there is no cause for alarm at the moment. I absolutely love that. That put me at ease. But it wasn't until I moved jobs and moved from a coffee machine that served high-strength coffee that the symptoms seemed to disappear, and I felt slightly embarrassed. My point is, it's no good looking at treatments to a solution until we've received the right diagnosis. And so I want to spend the whole of our first point on your sheets this lunchtime looking at Mark's diagnosis, letting Mark diagnose us as blind before we look at the solution under the second point. Well, let's have a look at that first point. The problem, we are spiritually blind. The problem, we are spiritually blind. It might be a surprise, but Jesus' disciples didn't actually recognize who Jesus was for a good proportion of their time with him. In fact, the disciples, that is the 12 closest followers of Jesus, were just as ignorant to Jesus' identity as the people who later crucified him. And Mark wants to show us, the readers, that the disciples couldn't understand Jesus themselves. I'm afraid we're going to have a little bit of page flicking now. As we're starting in chapter 8, it's important we understand the story so far, or what's happened before now. You might know that Mark gives us his purpose for writing in chapter 1, verse 1. Why don't you turn to it with me? Chapter 1, verse 1. Mark says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark says he's writing all about the gospel, and the word gospel means good news. It's good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The title Christ and Son of God were Old Testament titles for God's chosen king, a king promised hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth. So Mark is telling us in his gospel and in this passage the good news about Jesus, God's chosen king. But whilst us, the readers, have been told that Jesus is God's king, No one else gets it. People are blind or deaf. They just don't understand Jesus' identity. They don't understand who he is. And the shock of Mark is that the disciples have the same problem. Turn with me to chapter 6, verse 51. Chapter 6, verse 51. We're on page 1009. There's an incident with a boat to do with the disciples. Then he, Jesus, climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. Then Mark describes the disciples. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Turn over the page to chapter 7, verse 18. Chapter 7, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking here. Are you so dull? He asks. Turn with me again over the... No, we're on the same page. Chapter 8, verse 17. Chapter 8, verse 17. This is a little bit just before the bit Richard read out. Where are their discussion, the disciples' discussion? Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? The disciples just don't understand Jesus' identity. Despite 8 chapters of Jesus speaking, doing amazing signs, explaining his identity, the disciples just don't get it. In fact, the bit we've just read in chapter 8 is a very scary moment for the disciples, because Jesus is using the same language for the disciples as he uses to describe those outside his kingdom and those plotting to kill him. Just take a look at chapter 4, verse 11. Last bit of page flicking. Chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus speaking to his disciples here. He says, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. These are quite complicated verses, but the main point is that those on the outside of Jesus' kingdom don't understand things. They might see physically, but they'll never understand. And turning back to Mark chapter 8, I promise you it's the last bit of page turning, but I think this is it. Mark chapter 8, Jesus uses that same language about the disciples. Have a look at verse 18. Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? Jesus says that they have eyes physically, but they fail to see. In other words, just like those on the outside of Jesus' kingdom. Just like those who are plotting to kill Jesus. It's almost, if Mark covers the whole spectrum of people here, from those at one end who want to kill Jesus, right through to Jesus' closest followers. And everyone on that spectrum doesn't recognize Jesus' identity for themselves. They are spiritually blind. So I'm afraid there's little hope for us here at Aldersgate this lunchtime. If Jesus' disciples didn't recognize Jesus, even when they were with him, we're not going to recognize Jesus 2,000 years later. On our own, we cannot work out who Jesus is. We cannot fully recognize Jesus' identity. We are blind. I want to pause on this point and ask, do we believe Mark's diagnosis? Do we think that we're naturally spiritually blind? I guess for most of us, if you're anything like me, we will struggle to think this way. Instead, I like to think I can understand anything if I put my mind to it. And I guess working in this environment doesn't help either, does it? Because we're always trying to work things out. That's what some of us are paid for. If we don't understand something, we sit down and we work it out. And it's easy to take that attitude and apply it to the Bible. But Mark tells us we cannot do the same for Jesus' identity. We cannot work him out ourselves. If the disciples wouldn't manage it, we won't either. We might be able to spot a trend in market data, but we won't be able to spot who Jesus is. We might be able to identify some relevant legislation, but we won't be able to identify who Jesus is. We might be able to work out and quantify all our firm's risks, but we won't be able to work out who Jesus is. We cannot see Jesus' identity ourselves. It wouldn't matter if we read the Bible from cover to cover. It wouldn't even matter if Jesus was with us now. Left to our own devices, we cannot work out Jesus' identity. We are spiritually blind. As I've said, this might be a difficult thing to hear, but I think it's much better we hear the right diagnosis so we can find out and appreciate the right solution. So what is that solution? If no one can recognize Jesus' identity, how comes Christians can say they can? Well, the good news, I'm pleased to say, is that Jesus can give us sight. And that takes us on to our second point on your sheets. The solution, Jesus can give sight. Jesus can give sight. In the next few verses of our passage, there's a dramatic turnaround for the disciples. They finally recognize Jesus as God's King. They recognize Jesus as the Christ. They go from having no understanding to seeing a significant part of Jesus' identity. And Mark shows us, his readers, how this change comes about. How the disciples go from being blind to seeing Jesus' identity. As I say, it's because of Jesus himself. It's Jesus who gives his disciples understanding, and it's Jesus who will give us understanding. And that's what we're going to spend the remainder of our time looking at this lunchtime. Let's start by looking at that incident with the disciples. Take a look at chapter 8, verse 27. Chapter 8, verse 27. Richard read it out for us earlier. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus and his disciples, well, they head to northern Galilee, and on the way, Jesus asks them, what do people think of his identity? And have a look at verse 28. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." The disciples speak about the various views going around, what people are saying on Facebook and Twitter about who he is. But then in verse 29, have a look at verse 29. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" The spotlight comes down on what the disciples think for themselves. We've heard the various opinions, but what do you personally make of Jesus' identity? Well, I wonder what you would expect them to say. The last thing we have on our mind about the disciples is that they're blind and without understanding. What we saw in verses 17 to 21. So I guess I expect them to give a similar answer to the various opinions going round. But there's a massive change since 17 to 21. Verse 29 again. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Remember chapter 1, verse 1, the good news about God's King. Now Peter recognizes that Jesus is that King. The one promised for hundreds of years before. Peter finally recognizes Jesus' identity. He recognizes Jesus as the Christ. This is a bit of a watershed in Mark's gospel, because up to this point, we've seen lots about Jesus' identity, but the disciples failing to grasp it. But now they recognize Jesus as God's King. Now they recognize Jesus as the Christ. But the question this raises, and then goes on to answer, is how? We've just had eight chapters where the disciples are unable to work out Jesus for themselves. How is it they can now do that? Well, the answer comes in the healing of the blind man in verses 22 to 26. Let's have a look at that together. Just before Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, we've got this episode with a blind man. Have a look at verse 22 with me. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Jesus meets a physically blind man asking for sight, and then Jesus spits on his eyes, lays his hands on him. And then verse 24, he looked up and said, "I see people, they look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. The blind man is given sight, but in two stages. He first sees the outline of men, but it's blurry. They look like trees walking around. And then Jesus places his hands on him again. And this time, he sees everything clearly. You might be thinking, why does Jesus heal this man in two attempts? And that's a good question to ask. But the answer to that comes in the next section, so I'm afraid you'll have to come back next week and hear that. But for now, we're going to focus on why this incident comes where it does in Mark. Why does Mark give an account of Jesus giving sight to a blind man just before Peter's confession? Well, I wonder what you think. Mark has arranged his material so it reads, the disciples don't see, a blind man's given sight by Jesus. The disciples do see. I wonder why you think he's done that. Well, isn't it? To show us that the physical transformation of the blind man is a demonstration of the spiritual transformation of the disciples. I'll say that again, that's a bit of a mouthful. The physical transformation of the blind man is a demonstration of the spiritual transformation of the disciples. The blind man receives physical sight from Jesus, showing us that the disciples have received spiritual sight from Jesus. In other words, it's Jesus who gives the ability to recognize his identity. One can only imagine what it must have been like for that blind man in verse 22. Not being able to see anything. Faces of friends, faces of family, the world around him, all of it invisible. But Mark shows us that is the spiritual reality of the disciples and of us all. Spiritually, we cannot see anything. We are blind. And one can hardly imagine what it must have been like for that blind man to finally see, after many years of blindness maybe, to see faces of friends for the first time, to see faces of family, to be able to view the world around him. And Mark shows us that is what Jesus did for his disciples and can do for us all. We cannot see, we are blind. But Jesus, he is able to give us sight. He is able to give us an ability to recognize his identity. How do we do that? How do we receive this spiritual sight? Well, like the blind man, we need to ask Jesus. In fact, the blind man is a really good example of how we do that. He understands he's blind, quite obviously, and he humbly asks Jesus for sight. And it'd be appropriate to emulate his example, to recognize our own blindness and to humbly ask Jesus for sight in prayer. If you're not a Christian, it's great to have you along, and I hope this passage is a real help as you consider the gospel for yourself. It's a good thing to research the Bible, and I really want to encourage that. Please do read the eyewitness evidence in Mark's gospel. Please do come on that Christianity Explored Richard spoke about this Thursday. Come on it and examine Jesus' claims for yourself. But as well as doing that, it would be appropriate to pray that Jesus would give you understanding of himself. Whilst reading, say, Mark's gospel, to say, if you're there, Jesus, please give me understanding of your identity. And the good news is that Jesus can and is willing to give an answer to that prayer, to give you understanding of his identity. But I don't think this passage is just for those of us who are looking into Christianity. The same principle applies to those who are Christian already. Yes, we might understand Jesus' identity, but that's not our own doing. We were blind. So there's no room for boasting, is there? Or thinking that we're intellectually superior, that we've somehow sat down and worked out God. No, the fact that we understand Jesus' identity is only a result of his undeserved grace to us. And that should be deeply humbling. I cannot understand anything myself, but it's only a result of Jesus revealing himself to me. Now, I don't know about you, but because that truth is humbling, I naturally want to wriggle out of it. As I've said, I don't like thinking I can't do something or I can't work something out for myself. But actually, if we think about it for a while, I think that truth is an encouraging one and a good one, and it's a truth we should want to embrace. Imagine just for a moment, for argument's sake, that we could work out Jesus ourselves. We weren't blind, but we could understand Jesus if we just put our minds to it. Just consider that for a moment. Well, it would only be those of us who are clever enough who would be Christians, wouldn't it? Children, they couldn't be Christians until they were old enough to do personal study. Those who aren't as capable of academic thought as others, they couldn't be Christians. People who haven't had the opportunity to study, they wouldn't be Christians. Clever people, they would be fine. They could sit down with the Bible and study it for a while and work out Jesus' identity themselves. Imagine that. Only clever people becoming Christians. Imagine the pride. Every Christian knowing that they'd worked out Jesus for themselves. Imagine heaven. It would be terrible, wouldn't it? Just one big pride factory. So thank God that it is only through Jesus that we can understand him. So thank God that there is no room for pride or boasting, thinking that we've worked out Jesus. And thank God that Jesus can give sight to anyone. No one is beyond understanding. It's not down to age, academic ability, or opportunity. I trust that you see that as good news as you return to the office this afternoon, thinking that no one is beyond recognizing Jesus' identity. The security guard, the team administrator, your manager, we're all in the same boat. We're all blind. None of us can work out Jesus for ourselves. But in his goodness, Jesus gives sight to the blind. He provides the solution to the problem and can enable anyone to recognize his identity. Anyone who asks him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the honesty of this passage. Thank you for showing us that all of us suffer from this problem of blindness. We cannot recognize Jesus' identity for ourselves. But thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he can give us sight, give us understanding. And we pray that he would do that for us. In his name. Amen.